Tonight, I'm in Kinsale, where one of the world's biggest sailing events, the Solitaire de Figaro, has just landed. More than 40 sailors have sailed single-handed from Nantes in France, the nearly 500 miles to Cork. They have a two-day stopover here before setting sail again on Sunday for the second leg of this four-leg race. The boats make a spectacular sight here, all moored up together, and some of the best-known sailors are here in Kinsale. I'll be speaking to a few of them later. There are also two Irish competitors, Tom Dolan and Joan Molloy. I've been out and about today, looking at the boats and speaking to people. And now, just here on the pier, I'm joined by three of the skippers, three men who are completely exhausted, most of them veterans of this race. Luc Perron, you've just come in, you've just finished.
I've just finished the first leg of this Figaro race at the sixth position, which is not bad for an old man like me. You know, the last time I've done this race, that was 15 years ago. And the last time I won one leg was here in Kinsale 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
Maybe, yes. In 86, I remember that. I was quite young. And then, yeah, that's a crazy race, in fact, which is a little French specialty.
Yeah. Since it's a huge half a sporting century. Event in
yes,
France.
Yes, it is. It is, because that's this year we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of this race. And I think we've been in Ireland, here in Kinsale, maybe 20 times. That's one of the favorite stopover from this race, for this race. And this is a one design solo race. All the boats are the same, but all the skippers are not the same. You have young guys of age of 20, and I'm the oldest, actually. Alain, you're going to talk with Alain. Alain was the youngest 40 years ago. Both of us were doing the race 40 years ago. Okay. We were quite young fellows at this time. And yeah, that's a French specialty.
Because in France, the start of the race is live on TV.
Yeah, but also the main reason is that solo sailing races are very, very popular. Not only figure races like that, but around the world, like the Vendée Globe. So hopefully we have some non-French skippers, like Hélène MacArthur, like Alex Thompson.
Tom Dolan.
Yes, more and more.
And Joan.
And Joan. And
Damien Foxhall a few years ago.
And Alan Roberts. And hopefully we have, I think there is at least 6 or 7, let's say 10% of the fleet, which is not French, which is a very good news. As we all know, there are too many Frenchies everywhere.
Why is solo sailing so popular in France? What is it about the mental challenge that makes it so popular?
That's a good question. In fact, for a lot of different factors since half a century, even the solo races were invented by English guys or American guys. The first transatlantic was invented in England, let's say, in this area. But then it became, for a lot of reasons, we had a very famous hero in France who won a lot of races like that, Eric Tabarly. I don't know exactly the reason. The reason is maybe the sailing is not a popular sport. Its adventure is very well known. The sport, no one cares about the result, in fact. But they care about the stories we have to share. Yeah. And that's why there is a lot of value just by finishing a race, not only by winning it.
And what is your story that makes you do all this for so long, so something so incredibly challenging as you've had over the last four or five days?
On the Figaro, this race is crazy because that's a kind of a marathon, but you have to run as you do on the sprint. And that's the thing. 4 days, that's not very long, let's say, if you are only sailing. But if you are racing alone, you can sleep. Or you have to sleep by little legs of, slice of 10 minutes, no more than that. Each time you sleep, each time you trust your self-steering system, then you lose five places on the ranking. Okay. And you can see that because all the boats are around you. And so that's a fight. That's really a naval battle.
Are you a full-time sailor? Okay, what else do you do?
Oh, I've done a lot of round-the-world races, transatlantic, and running teams like that, America's Cup, and a lot of races since 40 years,
What has this leg been like coming into Kinsale? You had somewhat light winds, so it's delayed quite a lot of people.
Yeah, in fact, that was maybe the longest leg of in the Figaro story. Because, no wind in the south of France, first of all, and then beating against quite a lot of wind in the channel, and then no wind to finish. And then, and that's it. That's the story of the sailors. You know, you have to deal with what you have in kind of wind and currents, and it's, you have to be able to change your mind. It's really hard to not to take decision, but to anticipate a lot like that. And that's a funny game. But and you have a lot of specialists. Alain did 22 of them, 22 races like that. I've done only 4.
Okay.
I can't be a specialist, in fact. That's the problem.
Yeah. Loic, thank you very much for joining us, and enjoy your time in Conseil.
With pleasure. Thank you very much.
Now, and I'm also joined by Alain, who has done this race.
No, not 22. Just it's my 18th.
Your 18th time.
Yeah, and my first was in, like Loic, in 1980. And I arrived here in Kinsale just 16 hours before the start of the second legs.
And it doesn't give you much time for rest or refueling.
But I was young and, you know, that's life. No, I love Kinsale because we arrived here a lot of times. I won in 1983. Against a star named Philippe Poupon, and it was my best souvenir. But Kinsale with green grass, and the place is really, really nice.
You've done this 18 times. What is this now? The first leg of this race coming in here the last few days. What has it been like? You've had very low winds.
Yeah, it was a mix of a lot of things. very light winds or no winds, and strong winds against. You know, you have to tack, you have to some sea, some wave during the night to cross the channel. And after no wind, and we finished with very, very pleasant sailing condition. Sunny, spinnaker, downwind around the highland between the Fastnet Rocks and Kinsale.
You didn't have the normal storm that you'd expect around the Fastnet maybe at this time of year?
No, we hope 79 will be, not again, because it was...
Which is what we call the Fastnet disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
Why have you done this race 18 times? What drives you to keep doing it?
Patience, and the figure race, it's the best school for sailors. You know, to learn, because you are alone and you have to do everything alone. You find your sponsor, you organize the race, you have not a big team, you know, you are, and it's a fantastic school to learn to, and also at sea to learn, because you have to do everything by yourself. And we are between 40 and 50 competitors at each time, and very, very interesting, so close. I remember
you've seen
race.
You've most of the others.
Yeah, you see on this race we have two or three groups of boats between the easterly and the westerly group. You have 100 miles. You know, you cannot see everybody. And I remember a race in 2003. I finished second of the race after 4 legs and 13 days of race, 13 seconds after the leaders.
That's why you hate the number 13.
And no, it's really close.
And you finished 13th yesterday.
Yeah, and yesterday I finished 13th, yeah. But no, it's, you know, because the boat are the same, it's one design boat, and a little thing, and you have to be, you sleep not very well, you have to sleep less as possible, and it's, it's a very, very interesting race, since it's, this year it's the 50th.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the sleep, I've just been told that if you spend more than 10 minutes of sleep, you're going to start losing places.
Yes, because the boat is not so big. It's 9.5 meters and a light boat, and the autopilot is good, but not so good as sailors. And when you sleep, you are sure you will lose maybe 100 meters or 500 meters, but you will lose. The question is to lose less as possible, and to find a good moment to sleep. I don't know how many times I slept. Maybe during 4 days, I slept 8 time of 20 minutes.
How do you train yourself to do that? I personally would find that impossible.
You know, it's adrenaline. because you are in competition, you have you want to be the best, to be the, and adrenaline is really important. When you cross the line, you can sleep just after the finishing line. Adrenaline and patience and different things as that.
The name of your boat and your name?
My name is Alain Gauthier, and the name of my boat is special because the name is Merci pour ces 30 ans. It's mean thanks for those 30 years. And I call my sponsor of the last 30 years, and a few of them give me the answer, and we go. Because I was a professional sailor a long time, but since 5 years, I am now a team manager, and I am not sailing since 4 years, you know. I do this race because it was the 50th, and because it's a new boat this year, and that's why.
Best of luck with the rest of
it. Thank you.
So I'm Andy Robertson, and I'm the English writer for the La Solitaria Girl of Figaro.
Andy, tell me about this race.
Well, it's a race which has got a 50-year history. This is the 50th edition. And the big thing this year is it's moved on to this new Figaro Beneteau 3, the third generation of One Designs. And so this is a new boat. It's got little foils that assist the boat, make it go faster.
They lift the bow of the boat out of the water.
They just lift the boat generally. It doesn't actually fly like we see on these some of the bigger foiling boats, but it just lifts the boat. And really, it's instead of the previous generation had water ballast. So rather than having the water ballast, this has got these little foils that just makes it go a little bit faster. And as you go faster, then the foil takes more effect and you go even quicker. So it's like a little turbo, if you like.
Yeah, I've been on a boat with foils. It is quite a smooth sail.
It is, but these boats are that little bit smaller, and on some points of sail, the foil actually impedes the progress, if you like. So it's not all plain sailing, if you like.
This is the 50th year of this race. It's a huge sporting event in France.
It's massive. I mean, shorthanded and solo racing in France is really a populist sport. It's for everyone. You go to the start of the Vendée Globe or the Route de Rhum, there are millions of people turn up to see the sailors. And this is really the kind of proving ground, the academy where these sailors learn the solo skills.
So a lot of the people we see here would be on the way up to sailing the Vendée Globe.
There are some have done it, but it's certainly, this is the passport, if you like. If you can score a good result and you're young and hungry, then there's a very good chance you'll land sponsorship. So we see, for example, like the guy who won the last edition, a guy called Sébastien Simon, is not here this year. He has now moved on to do the Vendée Globe. There's a guy like Charlie Dallan, who's a previous podium finisher. He's moved on to the Vendée Globe. And so that's the reason that they're not here this time, for example. But so it really is the kind of stepping stone, the passport to the Vendée Globe and the Route de Rhum and the Big Amoca races.
Tell me about the leg. The first leg, you started off in Nantes to come up here to Kinsale.
That's right. I mean, the great thing about this leg in particular is it's a very open leg. There are minimum number of marks of the course. And so, for example, they came off the start line in just in the Bay of La Balle, just outside of Nantes, the Loire estuary. They went down to a mark just off the Vendée coast, which was about 50 or 60 miles, and then they came all the way up to the Fastnet Rock and then in here. So I think in total it was about 545 miles. And the great thing is there was no marks of the course, so as some of the guys will tell you, it meant that there's a big, big lateral separation. There's lots of options to go to do different things rather than some of the courses like in the Channel or the next leg, for example, up, which is up around the Isle of Man, then it's much more a constricted race course.
They had very light winds.
They did have very light winds. I think they had one period of a few hours where they were actually getting up to speed, kind of 14, 15 knots with 25 knots of breeze. But that was only for a matter of hours. Otherwise, it was really light, 7 to 10 knots and very, very slow. Lots and lots of transitions. So I think over the course of the race, there were 9 different leaders. And each time there was big, big changes of distances between first and last.
We have 2 Irish entries, Joe Molloy and Tom Dolan. They were doing very well at one stage, but dropped back through the fleet a little bit.
That's right. I mean, there were so many transitions, so many changes. Certainly initially, Tom was right up in the top 10, top 12, and then he made one mistake. I think he just got tired at the wrong time, made the wrong decision, just on the spur of a moment, rather, and went the wrong way at the island, and then he really lost contact with the fleet then. But that's the way of things in this kind of this discipline of the sport.
How long, when are you starting again out of Kinsale?
It was starting Sunday, and as I say, we're racing down to Roscoff. We go up the Irish Sea and round the Isle of Man, and then back down to Roscoff, and Roscoff being in the very top northerly corner of Brittany.
So that's leg two. How many legs do you have?
There are four legs. So the third leg is just a 400-mile loop out from Roscoff and back to Roscoff, and the final leg goes from Roscoff up to Dieppe. So it's a real channel leg.
And thanks for coming on to join us, Andy. Now, earlier today, I met up with Joan Molloy just as she put in after five nights at sea.
Yeah.
Joan Molloy, welcome back in. You've had a long few days.
Yeah, I have been at sea for five nights since I got my boat on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. in Nant, and just got off my boat there about 2 minutes ago in Kinsale.
On
what day it is?
Yeah, it's Friday afternoon.
Thank you.
How did you find it? Now, in the end, you had to abandon because you just had no wind.
It was a really tough race. There was really a lot of kind of lottery element to it. The wind was up and down even before we left. Usually when in a fleet like this, when you leave, you have a lot of good weather information. You have a pretty solid idea of what's going to happen with the weather. Before we left, even the morning we left, we had four or five scenarios that could have turned up, and I still don't know which one of them did turn up. So that made it very interesting and kind of blew the results board open.
Yeah, I'm told that the lead changed hands nine times.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. And there was some massive splits in the fleet throughout the last few days. I suppose the biggest factor was the lack of wind more than the wind itself. So trying to avoid sailing into areas of no wind would have been the way to do well. I unfortunately got pretty unlucky and sailed into a few areas of no wind, particularly this morning, just after we rounded the Fastnet Rock this morning. The rest of the fleet got away with some winds and I had none, so I was just sat there. It was going to take me about 40 hours to finish the race, and the next leg starts on Sunday, so
it's a tactical decision at that stage to abandon.
It was for me. It made better tactical sense for me to abandon there to because
you turn on the engine and you drive into Kinsale.
Yeah, and I drive into Kinsale and I arrive here. I am in Kinsale on Friday afternoon. My boat, you know, is tidy. I can have a good rest in a bed tonight and prepare for the race again on Sunday. But if I had kept out there, I would, I'd still be out there floating along in no wind. It's a lovely day out there. It's beautiful, but that's not very useful to the overall objective of the race.
Yeah, because sleep at this stage is a priority.
Yeah, sleep is a massive priority because the more rested you can be now, the better your decisions will be later in the race. And also, if you abandon, you get the time of the last boat plus 2 hours. So that would have been less than the time I would have accumulated trying to get back here under sail. So I think tactically, hopefully, it works out a bit better.
And over the four legs, it's accumulated time.
Exactly. The race is run on accumulated time, so the person with the shortest time at the end of the four legs, which makes it very tactically interesting and how you make your decisions. Yeah.
You have a new boat. It's a whole new design this year. How have you found it in comparison to last year's?
The new boat is the Figaro Bennett 03. It's quite different in lots of ways. It's a lot more physical. I think I would actually say I know it a lot better now than I did last Sunday, because I've just spent 5 days doing a lot of different sailing, a lot of different wind conditions and wind strengths on it. So, you know, definitely feel like we're bonded a bit more now than we were at the start of the week.
Yeah. You still have your sponsors, Dubarry, Bordi, Scavora, and I see at the back of the boat, Mayo Sailing Club.
Yeah, we do. So I'm really delighted to have those partners who've just kind of stayed with me from the start of the campaign. But this year, the main title sponsors are Grace O'Malley, Irish Pirate Queen, so Grace O'Malley Whiskey, and Business Post. .ie, so that's the website of the Sunday Business Post. And the Grace O'Malley whiskey is a great story because my granny was an O'Malley and we are descended in some way from Grace O'Malley. So they loved the idea of sponsoring a woman who goes out to sea by herself and, you know, conquers races as opposed to doing piracy. So it was a nice link.
What have you been doing since we spoke to you last? Now, not quite a year ago.
Yeah, since this time last year, I've been just building my campaign. So building the campaign to do this 2019 Solitaire de Figaro race, and that's taken a lot of effort actually to build the sponsorship campaign. So that's taken most of the year really to make sure that we had everything we needed in place to do the race, and then also trying to prepare myself physically in terms of training on the boat, getting used to the new boat and all the logistics that come with it. Yeah.
Sunday you start again. How are you feeling at the moment?
Well, I can't believe it's Friday already, so I'm feeling really, really tired actually at the moment. So I'm kind of beyond, I can't, think I still have a bit of adrenaline running, so I'm not falling asleep, but I know when I go to sleep it's going to be for a very long time. So yeah, I kind of ran out of, the race was longer than I expected, so I ran a bit low on food and water, so I'm pretty hungry and thirsty as well.
We let you go to get fueled up.
Great, thanks Millie Fergal.
I'm joined now by Marcus Hutchinson. Marcus, you've been involved with this event and coaching and mentoring sailors for many, many years. But you live in Kinsale. You've brought this race home.
It's very exciting finally to be here. And I've been involved in offshore racing for many years, but most of it happens elsewhere in the world. And it's very rare that I can say that I've slept in my own bed at home at night and the event is happening right in front of the house. So it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
It looks spectacular from the town over here. All of these yachts all the same with their flags flying, the sponsors. How big an operation is to get it to come here?
Well, it's not easy and it's not straightforward because, of course, there's an awful lot of work and planning that goes into this from an awful lot of people, and we've had a lot of support from the town of Kinsale, the harbour master in particular, and the Castle Park Marina as well have been very, very helpful in getting this done. But it doesn't happen just by goodwill of people. It happens by a lot of hard work, and regrettably there's a little bit of money involved, like all of these things. I think the economic impact for Kinsale and for Ireland is not insignificant at the scale of the involvement that's been here, but I think also it's very important to remember that this event is promoted heavily in France. It's a four-legged event, and one of the legs is to Kinsale. So Kinsale and Ireland are being talked about massively overseas as this event is going on and before this event's going on.
It is one of the biggest sporting events in France. It's shown, the starts, for example, are shown live on TV.
That's correct, yes. It's one of the first big events, national events, that goes on in France. We've had Roland Garros tennis, which is going on at the moment. This event lasts for a month. And then in July, we have the Tour de France bicycle race, which everybody knows about. And in fact, the Women's World Cup soccer is going on. I think it starts next week in France as well. So it's one of the big summer events, that's for sure. It's been going on now for 50 years. This is the 50th year. And believe it or not, this is the 20th occasion that the event has come to Kinsale over those 50 years. Kinsale is the most visited port in the history of this event in any of the countries that it's visited.
Why? Why did they like it here so much? We're here. It's an absolutely stunning evening.
Look, we don't need to promote Kinsale any more than it already is. It's a spectacular place, but geographically it's a really interesting place to sail to and from, because it's the furthest southwestern place in Ireland that has marine infrastructure like marinas and hotels and things like that. And of course we have Kinsale International Airport just up the road, aka Cork, which makes life very easy. And also we've got this fantastic ferry service that takes us to Roscoff twice a week now, thanks to Brexit, which I'm very happy about. So Kinsale is a really interesting place for waterborne activities as in general, but for offshore racing events, it has the infrastructure. It just needs to be a little bit more concurrent, and there's an awful lot more we could do here with this, but I think we've proved it here by bringing the Figaro here this year.
You have nearly 50 entries this year, but some of the people, or some of the sailors here, are quite extraordinary, the achievements they've already had in their lives.
This year is the 50th year of the event. It's also the first year of the new class of boats we're using, the Figaro Beneteau 3, which is a brand new modern one design class built by Beneteau in France. They have foils, they're really last minute design, and everybody wants to sail them. And an awful lot of old champions and past winners of this event and other major events have descended on the competition this year to be in there in the first year that it's been sailed in the new class of boat. So yes, we've got I think we have four Vendée Globe winners in the fleet. We have got multiple past winners of the Figaro race that have come back to do it. We've got round the world winners, multi-hull winners, America's Cup sailors, Olympic sailors. It's quite phenomenal, and I think it can't be understated the profile of dare I say, the athletes that are actually here in Kinsale and in Ireland this week. It's pretty under the radar, but this is a major sporting competition that's going on here. It's here until Sunday, and they race from here on Sunday back to France via the Isle of Man, with a lapping the Isle of Man, so another 500-mile leg. And you can follow it on the event website, lasolitaire.com, lasolitare.com. And there's a fantastic tracker, so you can watch the boats. It's updated every 5 minutes, and you can watch the boats as they progress around the course.
Will there be things for people to see here over the weekend if they want to come down on Sunday maybe for the start?
Hello. So on Sunday, we're probably going to have the start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon to give the guys a little bit more time to recover from this last leg that lasted a bit longer than it was expected to. But they leave Castle Park Marina. The boats have got about 4 miles to go before they can get to the start area. And on the path, they will sail right in front of the town quay in Kinsale, and we're going to put a buoy there so to bring the boats in right close. So from the end of the pier, we can have... it's a fantastic place to watch the boats as they go past. And once again, I can't thank enough Cork County Council and the Kinsale Harbour Master's Office with their support and help with this. It's all been a little bit last minute and under the radar and low cost, but they've done nothing but help us, and I really hope that we can attract it to come back again in the future. But there we go. On Sunday, there will be this start parade. On Saturday, there is the skippers will be presented in town in Market Square in the afternoon. And there is a great buzz around Kinsale with this going on. And it's extremely colourful, as you can see here in Castle Park Marina.
Marcus, thanks so many for coming to see us.
My pleasure.
And thanks to everybody in Kinsale and with the Figaro race. Just a reminder that SeaFest in Cork is starting tomorrow and going on all of next week. Lots of events there for everybody.